kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I'm a lot more chipper now that I got a fancy new computer.
Yeah, you did get a new computer.
So happy. Are you jelly?
I am
very
jelly.
You don't have a fancy new computer.
No,
You need to refitty your shitty compitty.
I do need to refitty my shitty compitty, and we're getting there because Mr. Sinister just dropped 168 biddies in chat. He dropped 100 and then 68 individual biddies. Because, you know, got to fill that cup, right? So, George, yes. Take it away.
Drop it, bits!
Do it again. There's forever. More.
There are more biddies. Another, how many? 43 more biddies. Oh, God, they're dropping so slow.
Wet pancakes!
They wouldn't be dropping slow on my computer.
No, they wouldn't. Chris, are you watching in chat?
I am not, no.
be watching.
I just have the chat window up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you should watch the stream. These biddies are falling so slow. Oh, my Lord. Breaking the computer. Oh, my Lord. My video is like all jittery now.
I'm shocked.
Oh, my God, this computer. So, Chris Huber, you're here. How are you doing?
I've been much better, but I'm alive. So
that sounds like somebody who doesn't have a new computer.
Nope. No, I don't.
That's horribly unfortunate.
Yeah.
Do you need biddies to refitty your shitty computer?
It needs a little bit of work, but I would rather biddies to fund existence. That would be nice.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Existence is loaded right now.
Existence is loaded. We got another 41 biddies from Mr. Sinister, though. He is in a droppin' mood tonight.
Yes.
Yeah, I've obviously had a bunch of my shows canceled due to the virus shit, and mm-hmm. I am down to very little. So, but I wanted to join and hang out and talk shit that's not that.
Yeah,
so let's talk shit that's not that.
We are trying to take everybody's mind off of all the horrible shit going on in the world right now. We talked about it on the last episode. I guess we'll just let's focus on video games. There was a lot of news this week.
Games.
Let's focus on video games.
You were like, "Yo, let's talk news," and I'm like, "I have no fucking clue what's going on."
That's I usually am. Like every week, goes like this happened. I was like, "Oh, okay."
See, like I at least when it comes to like, well, Joe, you said I guess there was a conference-y thing about like the next gen hardware from both or just
they both revealed a lot of info this week. Xbox revealed a lot last week, and then they followed up with some more information this week. PlayStation unveiled all of the information about the PS5, and right out of the gate it is absolutely abundantly clear Xbox is the more powerful hardware next gen.
So like here's where I'm upset with myself, because like normally, when it comes to these parts of, like, console cycles, I'm on top of shit. Like, I know what's going on with both. Like, I'm normally in-depth enough to know, like, the hardware specs and at least, like, have some sort of opinion going into this stuff. I am blind. So, like, I'm literally just going to be reacting to whatever you tell me. Like...
Mr. Sinister just gifted a sub to Latino Heat, so that's cool. Thank you, Mr. Sinister. And he asked for a new cup, so I refreshed the cup, and there's just a kitty cat in the cup now. We got a kitty.
New cup. Hi,
kitty. So, Chris, are you interested in hearing about the PS5 and the Series X?
Yeah. I want to know whatever you got to tell me.
Well, we'll start off with the CPU. In the Series X, it is an 8-core, 3.8 gigahertz custom Zen 2 CPU. The PS5.
All right, now hold on. Is it like, so it's eight threads, like eight physical threads? Are they like?
I'm reading it. I don't know about computers, Chris. You know that. Okay, I'm just reading what's on.
I'm just like
what's on the
sheet.
See,
this is why I'm upset with myself, because like so because as soon as tell me what the other one is first.
The PS5 is 8X Zen 2 at 3.5 gigahertz instead of 3.8. And then the Series X is 3.8 and then 3.6 gigahertz with SMT, whatever that is.
So what I'm more curious about, like speeds are good, you know, like clock speeds are great. But like modern processors, like most modern processors, are either going to be able to do like multiple channels. So I have an i7, it's a little bit older, 6700K, but I think it's six channels, dual core. So it's technically 12, like each core is essentially acting like two. So I'm very curious to see if these are just like eight single core or eight dual core or eight like quad core, because that's a thing too. I'm more curious about that. And then even just like the, more on the motherboard side, you could throttle it with like the front side bus speed of like the RAM and like all that kind of stuff. So like there's more to it than just being like, it's whatever speed. You know?
Yeah. Well, I only said this, the CPU. There's a lot of stats that we got to go through. The GPU.
Okay.
The GPU on the Series X is a consistent 12 teraflops, 52 CUs. I don't know what that is. What is CUs?
I do not believe they are fucks.
I don't remember.
They're not bits. They're computer, 52 computer units, we'll call them.
Yeah, there we go. Yep.
52 CUs at 1.825 gigahertz with a custom RDNA2 GPU. And then the PS5 is at max a 10.28 teraflop, 36 CUs. At 2.23 gigahertz with a variable frequency, they said it's more consistently in the 9 range for teraflops, but they're talking about like their boost mode is at 10.28. So obviously,
so here's the thing, like if it's a boost clock and it can operate under those loads at all times, then like if you throw something at it that is worth it processing all of that stuff, then it would boost up to whatever it needs to run it at. So, like, it's more so, if it's a variable speed, it's so that, like, if you're fucking playing, like, I don't know, like, Gems of War or something like that on it, and it doesn't require a ton of, visual processing power, then it'll throttle itself down to use less energy. So, like, it is more efficient, you can't really, fault it on that either. And us not knowing what CEU is, I'm actually, again, upset with myself that I don't know what that is. I should know that off the top of my head. But, I mean, even just having the double of that, that's actually what? It was 30, was it 32 versus 8?
For the CUs?
Yeah.
52 to 36.
52 to 36. So, I mean, I want to say that has something to do with, transfer speeds. I could be wrong, but it almost kind of how the front side bus works with RAM. Like there, you could only think of it like a funnel. Like you can only dump so much water through a funnel before it starts to flow over from the other side. It can only go through so fast, you know.
Mr. Sinister's going crazy with the bits tonight. Dropped another 200, then 25, then 6, then 7, then 14, 17, 37. There's a lot of biddies falling tonight.
Yes.
Maybe he has someone in chat that he's playing bingo with that you don't know about. And he's just like, all right, here's the next number. And 32. <Wow.
laughs> Bingo. Drop biddies.
Yep, there it is.
Oh, man. Memory, the Series X is 16 gigabit GDDR6 with 320-bit bus. I don't know what that means.
It's 300 or 320 channel, 3200, sorry, 3200.
Just 320 bit bus or 320B bus.
So that's probably the front side bus.
We'll go with that. Yeah.
It's the bus speed. It's just the speed of like the, it's the transfer speed.
Okay. Well, the PS5 is also 16 gig DDR or GDDR, GDDR6, 256 bit.
Okay. So, I mean, like, yeah, things will probably load a little bit quicker on the X.
Memory bandwidth, the Series X, 10 gigabit at 560 gigabits or gigabyte bit.
Okay, that's, yep.
Per second, 6 gig at 336 per second.
Sorry.
That's the Series
X. One more time on both?
This is the Series X. Both of them are the Series X. Okay. 10 gigabit at 560 and 6 gig at 336.
Okay. And then what's the PS5?
The PS5 just flat out 448.
Okay. All right. I mean, like, there's nothing is screaming to me. Nothing is screaming like, oh my God, this thing is like incredibly that much like overpowered. Like they're incremental, you know?
From what people are saying, Series X is like a $2,000 PC.
Absolutely.
That's what people are comparing it to.
If you take those parts and tried to build like a consumer grade PC out of that, yeah. Yeah. Not to mention like, and this is the, now you're starting to see the argument of the true barrier of entry of like PC versus consoles. Because now consoles are finally getting to the point where they can compete on hardware and with performance of the games that they're trying to run. Like, you don't have to compromise the quality of what it's running versus the hardware that you're playing it on. And they're just going to mass produce. Like, I think now's the time where, like, the console push might actually make that much more sense to people. Because some people that have been, like, in PCs for quite some time, like myself, instead of me spending a bunch of money to like really upgrade my computer specifically for gaming, I could do some marginal upgrades just to keep it working as a production computer, but then buy a console at how much is it going to be? Or I mean, sure, we'll get there, but like,
there's no prices yet.
Yeah. Okay. But I mean, like,
price, you know, is still up in the air.
You figure, like, you know, nobody's really going to buy a console for more than, I don't know. What do you think? Like $500-$600?
I'm thinking like it's going to be five, and I'm thinking the Series X is going to be five. The PS5 is going to be four. That's my guess.
Yeah, probably something like that.
And then I'm thinking Xbox will release a second, less powerful system to compete more with the PS5, while the Series X is going to be like its own upper tier god machine for consoles.
Don't you feel like that's one of the reasons why Xbox did so poorly this past console cycle?
I think they did poorly this console cycle because of their initial message at the launch.
Well, and yeah, I think, part of it, but I think like when it really comes down to it,
there's
like,
still people today who think you can't play used games in an Xbox One.
Well, yeah, but that's also the same people that like all they heard at the end of the day was PlayStation 4 is $100 cheaper. I'm gonna buy it.
Yeah.
That's it. Like that's all it is. Like at the end of the day, people still do, you know, especially console gamers, no offense, but like it's gonna really come down to, I just want something I wanna play once in a while. This one's a little bit cheaper. The majority of the stuff that I'm gonna wanna play is gonna probably be on both. I'm just gonna buy this. Like that, like most people that I know that aren't really hardcore into games have that mentality, so they don't give a shit. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like my singer for the one band is like perplexed at the fact that he and I can now play like Fortnite, and he plays on his like his kid's Switch with like a little headset. and he's just like, "Man, I can't believe like we could like play on the same game, and you're on your computer and I'm on a Switch, and like we're talking to each other." And I'm like, "Dude, what fucking year is it?" Like, but that's the mentality of the people of the majority of the market of what they're trying to reach, right? So, like, at the end of the day, they're just gonna go, "Well, this is cheaper. Fuck it, I'm just gonna grab this." Like, maybe I'm wrong, but like, I feel like that's one of the reasons why Microsoft did poorly this past cycle. Just personally,
price was definitely a factor, and bundling it with the Kinect.
Mm-hmm. Nobody wanted that shit. Like,
I did.
So here, hold on.
I love my Kinect.
Nobody wanted that shit because it's still not at the point that people really want to invest into it yet. Like, like everybody feels like they were kind of like bait and switched, because like what they were saying that they were going to eventually produce for it, or at least like develop into, they never developed into it. And it's not that Microsoft, like every company that was working on that kind of stuff at that time was fucking promising the world,
yeah.
You know? So it, you know, I don't want to just point the blame at Microsoft when it comes to specifically the Kinect. It's more so where VR and augmented reality and motion controls were at that time, you know, just in the market, right? Like, just look at it objectively from a business perspective. Like, everybody is like, ah, well, we're sick of using fucking controllers. Like, what else can we do? Like, like the Wii was cool because at least the controllers, you could swing them around like an idiot. Like, that's like, what else can we do to appeal to that type of like
punch your dog in the face while bowling?
Right. And everyone's like, oh my God, it's fucking amazing. I've never had this type of real life interaction with my game before. So like, I still think that there's ways for that to go that I don't like. I would love to see some sort of thing like Kinect integrated into the X, but just less intrusively, I guess, maybe.
I don't think we're going to see anything like the Kinect on the Series X.
Not for a long time. Some of the
functionality of it, though, right? Like, not like, take the camera out of it. Like, all of the audible, like, almost Alexa-ish functionality. Sorry, everybody. Functionality that that has one of those, integrating it in with the Kinect to just be like, ah, go to this channel, or like, you know, do this shit. Like I thought that stuff was cool every time that you used it, Joe. Like, because yeah. I really felt like that was something that was utilizing it to a thing that where it became more than just like a, hey, here's this like one niche piece of hardware that you need for like that game where it's, you're trying to like stand in place and a moving wall is coming at you. Like, that's great. That's aside from that, like, I don't feel like anybody else was really like personally invested into it. So, but like, if they incorporated some of that kind of stuff into like, hey, you know, you could do these commands with just like your headset and stuff, or there's a,
which is how it is now.
Well, I mean, you could see how much I use my Xbox. Like,
yeah. But you can use your headset to control.
I thought they removed the headset commands.
No, you can still,
because they got rid of Cortana.
They set it to where you could use Cortana or Alexa.
Well, they got rid of Cortana. Cortana's done.
Now, I'm talking about like, yeah, their integrated like thing, because that's what Cortana was, right?
There are two ways to use voice commands with the Xbox. I am like 927% sure. I can't wait to make a fool out of myself and be like that 3% wrong.
No, I think there are still Alexa commands and something else, yeah, but Cortana's gone.
But it started with Cortana, is why I brought that
up,
because that's when it kicked over that you could do your headset. Because Studio would say, hey, Eternal, and it would bring up Cortana every fucking time because, you know, Cajun accent. But
we'll cough and it'll pop up in the corner. Cortana is no longer supported for some reason. It detects a cough as Cortana.
That's, yeah, it was never particularly the most effective thing. It was just a thing. Well,
but that's the thing. At least the concept of it, right? Like they were trying to incorporate more of like a, hey, make this thing your hub of, mm-hmm, like your home entertainment thing, which is honestly the whole reason why like I still have my Xbox. Like, I don't play the damn thing. I don't even have a TV anymore, but I keep it because like I know that down the road when I have like a different setup where I would have a TV thing, like I want to use that as the hub, like almost as like a media center-y kind of thing. Yeah, I think, well, the Xbox works really well for that.
There's some of the downsides with the Series X, at least in my eyes. HDMI in is gone with the Series X.
I'm
really surprised they removed that.
I'm very upset with that because I use the HDMI in for TV. This is a console that I wanted to get for the living room, but, mm-hmm, we're just going to leave our Xbox One X out in the living room, and I'll put the Series X in my office because, right, you know, we can't use it as a media hub anymore.
Right. They're stepping away from the Media Hub thing, which I kind of wish they would lean a little bit more into.
I think the problem is that that's a case of listening to the uber hardcores, and they're a very vocal minority.
Well, I think what it really comes down to is there's no return of investment of them developing that kind of stuff into it, because like eventually the people like I was talking about before are just going to go, well, I just want to fucking play a game. So like, you know what I mean?
And I think that's the route they're going. They're just making a machine that's going to play games. And I'm sure we'll get like Netflix apps and movie apps and stuff like that. But just the fact that you can't hook up your cable to it anymore is a huge deal for Ashley and I, because we watch a lot of TV. We still use cable. We still have DirecTV, not cable. And we use our HDMI in, and the fact that they removed it from the Series X, that takes it from a living room machine that we would use constantly to just a gaming machine in my room that I'll use every now and then.
I used to line in my Wii. Because I got one of those adapters to make it like convert it over to like HDMI.
Nice.
So I just like I would run that into the Xbox and then run that up to my TV so I didn't have to use multiple inputs.
When I bring the kids to Switch in here, I run it through the Xbox. So yeah.
And then No Time for Games is mentioning something. I have seen two models of the Series X hardware, one with, one without an optical outport.
I would assume that it would have an optical out. Like,
but the fact that there's models or at least prototypes out there without an optical out worries a lot of people. There's a lot of headsets that rely on optical audio.
Well, right. That's why I'm assuming that they would use that. If not, they would have some sort of way like, well, what, the ports? Are there ports like USB-C or something like that?
There are USB-C,
Yeah, so you could essentially get like a USB-C optical converter kind of thing. They might do something like that even.
Yeah, but that's stupid that you have to buy more hardware just to use stuff that you would have used on the 1X normally.
I get that it's frustrating, but that's also the nature of technology. Like, it advances.
Yeah.
Well,
and things get dropped.
I would say that, like, even where technology is going in general, it's just carry a bunch of fucking dongles. Like, that's honestly, like, every product that I've been seeing mostly, like, for the last, even just like the past, like, year or two, they're all like, all right, here's one port. You have to have this do everything. Like, so I wouldn't be surprised if like on consoles they start to do something, because you also have to remember that like it does cut down on the hardware production, because then all you really need is just a chip, like a USB C chip on the board, and not like all these different fucking components. So breakaway,
it's,
like
it's
that
a blessing
part, I get,
and a curse.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
I don't know if my microphone is picking it up, but there's like a really loud truck or something outside.
Yeah,
it's probably only going to pick it up when I'm talking, because I don't think it's loud enough to trigger my microphone for the recording unless I'm talking, but hopefully they fucking go away soon.
I mean,
dicks. More bad news, at least in my eyes, with the Series X and with the PS5 is storage space. The Series X is going to have the Series X has a 1 terabyte custom NVMe SSD.
That's incredible. That's amazing.
It's great, but it's small. Look how big games are. One terabyte's not going to last.
How fast NVMe is?
Yeah.
No, you don't. Cause like your computer takes a while to even just like boot up. like
my computer takes a while when Mr. Sinister drops 82 bits.
Exactly.
I've like, had to reset the cup like 4 times already this episode because Mr. Sinister is dropping bits nonstop in chat.
NVMe, you could cold boot the system and be in like, I don't know, what's a game that probably takes a long time? Like a newer Assassin's Creed game, like probably fucking immediately. Like you would be in, like in game.
It took me under a minute to install Windows earlier today.
Damn.
NVMe drives are the shit. Like
it was ridiculous.
the fact that it's a terabyte is incredible, because most NVMe chips, like you're really only getting what, like 128 gigs, because it's normally just for an operating system. Or maybe, yeah, like,
mine is 500 gig and it was $128.
Right. Now it's starting to come down because, like, the RAM, even just like last year, RAM prices were absurd. Like, even just getting like 16 gigs of like 3200, which is what I have in my computer. When I bought it like 4 years ago, I think 4 years ago or something, when it came out, two sticks of RAM were like $120 or something like that. A year ago, they were like $240.
Jeez.
So NVMe drives, like, were getting that much higher. Like, I wanted to get an NVMe drive when I was going to do the replacement of the motherboard of my computer. And, like, just a 128 gig drive, like, last year was probably about, like, $250.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact they're throwing this thing in a console is just, like, crazy to me. Like, but that's amazing. Like, you dude, like, when if they're talking speeds of stuff, like, they're not kidding. Like,
is I/O throughput related to the storage?
Throughput?
Yeah.
Wait, that's incredible. So throughput is kind of it, so it's like that would be your HDMI in. Like, throughput is like if you're giving some sort of input output, like you could use it as a
Well, both machines have an I/O throughput listed, and they don't have HDMI ins, so I don't know what I/O throughput is. I'm not a computer guy, Chris. You know that. By the way, the PS5 has a custom 825 gig internal SSD.
What an odd number.
Yeah, seriously.
That is a really weird number.
And it's a custom one. The I/O throughput on the Series X is 2.4 gig per second raw and 4.8 gig compressed with custom hardware decompression block.
Okay, so this is the speed of the drives.
Data transfer speed, yeah.
Okay. The PS5 raw is 5.5 gig and typical compressed is 8 to 9 gig a second. That's how fast the PS5 is going to be. So it's going to be super quick storage-wise, but not nearly as powerful the rest of the way.
So is that not... Is theirs not NVMe as well, though?
No, it's
custom. It's custom.
So it's operating like an NVMe, then?
Yeah. Because
those speeds, comparative, are pretty nuts.
Now, for expandable storage, the PS5 does have an NVMe SSD slot in it. The Series X, this is where a lot of people are pissed. I like how I say Series X and my phone thinks I'm saying Siri.
Uh-huh.
So I gotta turn my phone off. But the Series X is going to be using proprietary 1 terabyte expansion cards.
That's stupid.
Yeah, we're back to memory cards.
A matter of time before somebody creates a third party one.
I would hope so.
Yeah, but they're licensed from Seagate. Like, is anybody going to be able to, like, beat Seagate's prices? Seagate's pretty much like the ones that are, like, normally making the ones that are always going on, like, Black Friday sales and shit like that. Yeah. Like,
you just gotta wonder what a 1 terabyte expansion card is gonna cost. A lot of people think it's gonna be like $200 for a fucking memory card.
No way for a terabyte. No way.
For proprietary?
Seriously? No.
Yeah, but even
150,
still, like,
200 for a terabyte.
No,
because it's basically it matches the internal storage exactly, so it's NVMe.
Yeah, but the prices of those could be dropping. And again, it's probably...
You were just super impressed with a 1 terabyte internal, and now they have 1 terabyte expansion cards, and you're like, eh, that's nothing.
Well, right, but...
Are you impressed with 1 terabyte NVMe, or are you not impressed with 1 terabyte NVMe?
I am impressed with
1 terabyte. I'm impressed with it. I just don't believe what the price people are saying is.
I am impressed with it being 1 terabyte of NVMe internally out of the box. I'm not impressed with them shooting themselves in the foot saying you can only use this one thing.
Oh, I agree. I think it's fucking stupid, and I think it's going to be expensive as fuck. I think we're going to be looking at $150 to $200 for a memory card.
Right, but here is the Seagate Barracuda M.2 1 terabyte NVMe for $149. And that's on Newegg, and their prices are always higher.
So 150.
Okay, so it might be somewhere around like $1. Yeah, maybe about like $1.30, $1.40, something like that.
I'm expecting minimum 150 for a memory card.
I mean, what do you want for a terabyte? Do you only want to pay $20? That's not going
to
happen.
What yeah, I want to do is I want to be able to use a normal hard drive.
You can use a normal hard drive.
Not to play
you
games.
Can't use this as a series. You can for if it's backward compatible.
I'm talking about Series X games. We're talking about Series X.
You can't do it at all, and that's not true.
I mean, to be fair, you are in a very niched portion of their user group.
Oh, I know.
999% of the people are not going to have enough games to fill up that 1 terabyte. Hell,
Call of Duty is how big. Red Dead is how big. Two games is 250 gig.
You can break Call of Duty apart and not install every bit of it.
And how many people install every bit of it?
This is probably why they were like putting in the stats, the compression, like the speed of their compressed packets. Because what it'll probably do is it'll only keep like portions of the game installed on the main drive. And if you have like an external drive hooked up to it, it would only transfer over the parts that it needs for it to run smoothly off the primary drive from the secondary drive. Unless the secondary drives, which is probably why they're saying that you have to get this specific type of drive, is because they're going to be formatted so that they could be read properly from the main console, and actually like it probably has to do with the size of the games in which they're getting now, because like Cole said, like if it's anything backwards compatible, you could probably just run it off of a regular drive.
We didn't get to the backward compatibility yet, so that's why I'm not talking about backward compatibility. This
but
is just
an
about Series
note, X. As far as how
but we're
the
not
hard
there
drive
yet.
Goes.
We're not there yet.
Well, yeah, but that's probably why. Yeah, I agree. That's an important thing for
and
if
we'll,
you're gonna bitch, it's not enough hard drive space. Then you have to say yeah, but. It's sectioned off. Like the newer games are only going to take up that NVMe space, that NVMe card. And even still, a lot of people can't, if you're not over a data limit or whatever, people like me download shit and uninstall it all the time. I have
yeah, but
over
a lot of people do have
games.
Data caps.
I have yeah. over 1,000 games and I only keep 10 to 15 installed at a time. I mean, I just I download something, play it, and knock it off. Download it, knock it off. Oh, somebody wants to play something. I download it real quick, and then I uninstall it when I'm done.
But not everyone has the internet you do, and the lack
of
a data
of
cap that you do.
I mean, it's not. No, it's just, not like I'm 1%. I mean, there's plenty of people who play that way.
They're just trying to like they're trying to split the difference of their player base. Like it's just what are the majority of the people in the user base doing? Because they probably have stats on all that shit. They're probably looking and seeing like, okay, most people are really only having like 4 or 5 games that they rotate between. So that's really only going to be X amount of space. So let's just make sure they have that and they're good. Because again, it's still like the idea of a console is still for it to be like the most minimalistic experience that you stuff that you need to experience a full-fledged product with room for growth. Like, that's just like, consoles are always the, oh, we'll add on this thing, add on this thing, add on this thing, add on this thing.
Okay, you know? And my point is I appreciate that on my 1X, I could buy an 8-terabyte hard drive, plug it in, and use it. On the
but
Series
X. You can do that
X,
on the Series X, too. It's just that
let me finish.
Compatible
you keep cutting me off with
well,
this. Let me finish. Because you're not letting
you
me finish. You keep cutting me off with this. On the Series X, you can only play games directly off the internal or the custom memory cards. You can store
right.
Series X
that's
games
not,
on an external hard drive.
Yeah, I said
you
that.
Can store them. You cannot
yeah.
play them off an external hard drive. You would have to transfer the game from your external USB hard drive to either the internal memory or
okay,
a memory card to be able to play.
That eliminates the people right. who bitch about data caps because it's still downloaded. You just have to move it.
No, I'm not seeing it either.
I don't know why everybody's mad about that. It's not. I don't get it.
It makes total sense from a hardware standpoint. Like, but again, I do agree that it is stupid that it requires a specific type of drive for them to do it. But it is also because it is a hardware limitation of saying, hey, these things require so much space and so much data transfer. That's where games are now. Like, it's not like we're booting up fucking Bomberman. We're booting up fucking, like, 120, 150 people BRs. Like, the size of the games and the size of the assets that are required for them can't be transferred from external storage. It's just, like, the only way that they're getting away with it with their proprietary drive is because they probably have just enough of front side bus from that drive for it to read properly.
Dark Meek is pointing this out. Why add a stupid extra step? It's a stupid extra step. Instead of, like, give me the option to play directly off a USB drive with slower load times. Give me an option.
It might not just affect slower load times.
It wouldn't work that way. It wouldn't work.
You're talking about ray tracing and 8K support and just older drives.
Not every game is going to have that stuff. Not every game is going to have ray tracing and 4K stuff. Like, how many games do we have?
In that case, then they do play, because we just sit here and said the backward compatible ones play off of them. The new ones don't. If it's newer, it's probably and properly coded for the Series X, it's going to need whatever the
because they
okay, and when we get 8-bit indies on the Series X, why
it's going to run in a compatibility mode. I'm assuming that those indies are probably just going to go, does it need the processing power of ray tracing or anything like that? No? Great. So then it's an Xbox X game. You know what I mean?
A 1X or a Series X. They're both Xbox X.
you know what I mean? Again, poor choice on
marketing. Poor naming. Yes, big time.
Right.
The 1X or the Series X?
Well, for the record, it is only Xbox, but Series X is just a designation.
Sure, but you understand what I'm getting at. It's one of those things where, like, they're going to look at the how much resources need to be dedicated to the game and how intense it really is. And I would assume, especially on indie devs' parts, they're going to have the option to go, is this a Series X release, or is it a backwards compatible release? And if it's a backwards compatible release, they would have the choice to have it run off of those other hard drives.
Here's okay, something that we absolutely don't know, though. Before you even start, there's one thing we don't know. What kind of architecture, Windows architecture, is going to be running on the Series X? Maybe there's something about that architecture that requires the limitation that, regardless of what the game is, they just can't help it.
Right. That's another reason why I'm saying it makes sense that it's a proprietary drive. Because
software has to have something to do with it too.
Right. The way that the file paths and the processes would be set up. I just watched like a preview of what one of their newer, it's like Windows, I think it might actually be like Windows X. But Windows X is kind of like, it's normally meant for like two display like tablets or laptops and stuff like that, but it is a like watered down version of Windows 10. And as soon as I saw it, I went, I wonder if they'll put this on the next Xbox, or at least like part of the functionality of it. And the way that they're handling like a lot of like the file paths and stuff like that, it's very specific. Like it has to go into like these specific folders, and it has to be read a certain way because it's transferring all the data in chunks. So, like, the way that it's processing all of the stuff on that operating system, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a modified version of that for the console. Like, okay. I wouldn't be surprised at all. Hello?
Yeah. I don't know what to say, because you guys are just making me feel like an asshole that I think 2 terabyte of storage is not enough. 1 terabyte internal and 1 terabyte expansion card. I don't feel that's enough. I don't feel it's anywhere near enough. And you guys are just telling me I'm an asshole for thinking that way.
Well, it's not that simple. Like it comes
to me. To me, 1 terabyte internal is not enough. It's that simple.
But it's not just a case of you only have 2 terabyte and then you're fucked. I mean, you can put any hard drive you want on it and put your backward compatible games on there and you're fine.
We're only talking about the newer games.
I know. That's my point. 1 terabyte for all the new games is not enough.
A new game is 160 gig. It's my biggest game on my hard drive right now is 160 gig.
They're
so even then, 200 gig, let's say 200 gig for any new game that comes out for the Series X, just to start off with. 200 gig.
Okay.
You could fit four games.
Don't forget the, you know, 1 terabyte is not 1 terabyte. It's more like what? 860, something like that.
I mean, I only have 1 terabyte on OS. My home PC. I only have 1 terabyte on my home PC with an operating system, and I've got like 20 AAA games on my computer right now.
That's all I had on my old one, and I had a fuck ton of stuff on it.
So, like, they're taking the average. Again, this is just the concept of consoles. They're taking the average user and going, this person has X amount of games. This is how much storage space is required for the average use case scenario. This is what it is. Like, and they're not gonna supersede that, because then it cuts in on how much it costs to produce one and then for them to ultimately manufacture it. So like, this to me is just something that comes with using a console. Do I feel like it's their best way of handling it? No. Do I feel like it's the only way that they probably can handle it with the infrastructure of the console that they're putting out? Probably.
And I don't know how computers work. I don't know how consoles work. I'm a fucking moron when it comes to that stuff. But as a consumer and as a user, you know, I can understand that the new Call of Duty and the new Red Dead and the new Grand Theft Auto, I'm going to need to play off of the internal with their custom hard drive and custom software and everything else. But when the new Rattalaika game comes out, that's an 8-bit retro game for the Series X. Why, you know, simple shit like that. Why can't you play those off a USB?
But you can.
No, you can't. You can't play them
off a USB. We don't know that for sure.
They've confirmed you cannot play off a USB. They've confirmed you cannot play Series X games. But a Rattalaika game for Series X isn't a backward compatible game. That's a Rattalaika game for the Series X. That's an 8-bit retro game, a hypothetical.
Do you think they're going to port exclusively to the Series X?
One a week.
No, they're not. No, that's
but like, it's a compatibility thing. They're not going to run it using the engines that are required for it to be a Series X game. Yes, it may launch while the Series X, and it may be like maybe if they're doing like a you can only get it on the Series X thing, but the requirements of the game will probably dictate whatever engine it's running on and whatever compatibility mode the console is going to run it in. I would be shocked if they were like, hey, we're gonna let you download the original Double Dragon or something like that on your fucking Series X, but you can only run it on a Series X. Like, it, no, people would like, people would essentially boycott their entire company. And Microsoft's, you, and I would assume that you would know this too, especially with how much you enjoy Microsoft's products. They're not that stupid. Like, you know that. They're not that dumb. Like, they're gonna run it in a compatibility mode. Unless it requires some sort of ray tracing or something that requires that newer hardware to be utilized to its full potential, I would be dumbfounded if they made it so that it was the other way around.
Well, the current official word is no Series X games will run off a USB drive. That's the current word. None. So
Series X games.
Correct. Yes. At all. None. No matter what kind of game it is, no matter if it's a retro title or the newest thing in the world, if it's a Series X game, it will not run off a USB drive. It's possible they change that requirement in the future, but as of right now...
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but even from the E3 conference from last year, they said that there was going to be titles that they're releasing an Xbox version and then an Xbox Series X version. Mm-hmm. So it's very possible that, like, if you didn't feel like you needed to get the very most out of the games that you were buying, you could just buy the regular X versions and put them on your big-ass hard drive and run them that way if you really wanted.
Well, the Series X has smart delivery, so if you buy a game that's across both generations, it gives you automatically the more powerful one.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll see. There's still a lot of news. We're spending way too much time talking about the storage because we're not getting anywhere with this. Both consoles have a 4K Blu-ray drive, and then backward compatibility. This is where things get shitty for the PlayStation, like really shitty for PlayStation.
I'm shocked.
Like, This is a direct quote from the PlayStation blog. Lastly, we're excited to confirm that the backwards compatibility features are working well. We recently took a look at the top 100 PS4 titles as ranked by playtime, and we're expecting almost all of them to be playable at launch on the PS5. So they're looking at having 100 games playable at launch on the PS5.
Wait, so hold on. So, are we talking, like, are they going to super sample them? It's just the same, like, the same game is just working on the new console? Like, what, like, do you, you don't have to rebuy them? You just fucking pop them in and you're
they're,
good? Like,
they're your PS4 games.
Okay. Out of 100,
PS4 and PS4 Pro most. Games. So they are hoping to have most of the top 100 games working.
Okay.
Out of 4,000 games, they're hoping to have most of the top 100. That's all. Unless,
well, I mean, like,
unless their wording is really fucking poor.
again, this comes down to the concept of a console. You're not going to remake and make sure that every single game works. You're just going to go to the top ones that people give a shit about.
On the Series X, everything on the One X works. Everything.
Well, yeah, because they're probably just running it the same way that they're doing the backwards compatibility. Like, they did it, like, they future-proofed themselves a little bit by building in, like, their own emulator of their own operating system into the next one. So, like, they don't have to worry about compatibility, and, like, they looked into that once they started doing the backwards compatibility on the X, so now they're, like, future-proofed moving forward, where I don't feel like PlayStation has put enough time into the infrastructure of, like, because they're doing an emulator of their own software as well, but they're just not doing it well.
Yeah. Yeah. PlayStation is just emulating. I'm pretty sure the Series X just has the proper hardware requirements of the One X in the Series X to just natively run everything from the One X.
Yeah, because think of it almost like compatibility mode on Windows. Like, when I want to run Diablo 2, I don't run it in Windows 10 mode. I have to run it in, like, Windows 2000 or, like, something stupid like that. It runs the program as if it was running on a Windows 2000 computer, even though I'm not running it on Windows 2000.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, but backward compatibility for PlayStation looks kind of shitty. Their graphic that they showed, it looked like it had a lot more room available on it to possibly add other consoles to it. So we'll see if they actually support their backward compatibility program, or if they just, you know, leave it out there to die. There's a lot of people pissed with PlayStation for the backward compatibility so far.
I'm shocked. Like, people are always mad at Sony for lack of backwards compatibility.
Meanwhile, like
every single cycle.
Yeah. Meanwhile, on the Series X, I could plug in my 8 terabyte hard drive and play all 2,800 of my games if I want.
Right.
But
which, again, I do want to strongly,
that's what I love about the Series X, is that I could play all my old stuff off a USB. It's just the new stuff I can't, which pisses me off.
Well, again, that's a hardware limitation, so that makes sense.
Okay.
I do genuinely think that it's a hardware limitation. They wouldn't do that unless it was for a purpose, because they obviously already didn't do that, you know?
Yeah. Oh, man. But yeah, those are the features of the PS5 and the Series X. As it stands now, the Series X is a hell of a lot more powerful. The backward compatibility program is a hell of a lot better, and despite some of the setbacks in my eyes in terms of storage space, HDMI in, optical out, those bother me, but I still think it's going to be the better of the two systems, as long as games.
Even just going back to usability of, like, hubs in a lot of newer, like, pieces of hardware and tech and stuff, I would not be surprised if there's just, like, a USB-C fucking HDMI in, HDMI out hub that you could get after the fact that would essentially, like, give you the same usability. Like I know of USB Type-C, like, single USB Type-C hubs that, like, can do two HDMI fucking, like, five USB ports, a SATA port, fucking, like, there's a lot of transfer speeds on a lot of those newer ports. So you'd be surprised how much you can actually get one of those to do.
Well, it all comes down to what the Series X is going to support as well.
Yeah, exactly. But again,
there's no saying they'll support HDMI in through USB. I don't see that happening. If they were going to support HDMI in, I would expect them to just have a fucking HDMI in port. I don't think they're going to support it through USB.
You'd be surprised because like even like a lot of laptops, might be, like,
but yeah, as it stands, it looks like they're not embracing people who liked using their Siri or their One X as their media hub. It's a bummer.
I'm also like, again, this could come like not, maybe not out of the gate, but I wouldn't put it past Microsoft to be like, you know what? If you like the more media centered approach of the dash of the X, having an option to select that and have the usability of that as a media centery type of thing, because they're obviously still going to support it if they're still making games that are compatible for the regular X. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my mentality. So I wouldn't be surprised if they still like develop that so that there's like options for the people that like yourself would just be like, you know what? I want to use it like just a beefier version of the thing that I'm used to. Like Microsoft, out of any of the companies, I would feel would be more inclined to do something like that, especially with their insider program and stuff like that. Like you could probably just like tell them like, hey, like, fucking maybe you want to consider trying something like this, and it's probably something on that end they can implement relatively easily. Like I would assume, because especially if they're going to emulate it anyway for the majority of like the programs that require it for the older games anyway, like I don't see why not. Like
no, oh man, this discussion went way off the rails. Now Cole, you and Aki are having an argument in chat now too.
It's a new console cycle. Are you surprised?
Not at all. We need Tim here to just shit on all of us for saying that the PC is the only way to go.
No, no, we don't. No,
yeah,
we
I
don't.
Agree. Cole, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm Cole? Here.
Okay. You went quiet, so I wasn't sure what was going on.
Oh, yeah. I heard that there was some sort of newer GTA.
Not yet. No, there's rumors that there's going to be one unveiled this week sometime or this month sometime, but nothing yet.
I thought there were, it was like an 80s themed six. Is that what?
No, I saw someone share something on Facebook that had a retro looking 80s logo, but it was just a Rickroll video.
Those fuckers.
Yeah, so you might have seen that.
I saw like a thumbnail of something, and I didn't click on it. And I was just like, oh, okay, that looks neat.
Yeah, so I think that's what you saw. You just saw the Rickroll.
Probably.
Xbox is adding new Xbox Game Pass Ultimate perks to Game Pass Ultimate. These will be in-game bonus packs of DLC and content just for Ultimate members. There are four games that have perks going on right now. Sea of Thieves has Ori-inspired ancestral sails, figurehead, hull, and flag. Phantasy Star Online 2 has a special pack of a Xbox jacket, a gold ticket mission pass, and a Meseta crystal. World of Tanks Mercenaries has 3 medium tanks, 1250 gold, 7 days of premium time, and is a $50 value. And then Smite has 5 gods in a starter pack, each with their own skin and voice pack, and is another $50 value. All free just for being part of Game Pass Ultimate.
Just in time for my Game Pass to run out.
It's cool that they're doing that, though. PlayStation has been doing that for a long time on PlayStation Plus, given DLC and bonus perks. So it's good to see Xbox.
Twitch has been doing that for how fucking long with the Twitch Prime stuff. Like,
yeah.
I think a lot of people were still hoping that they would throw in the free sub on Mixer, though. And it was kind of disappointing to see them unroll perks without that.
No.
You know, that would have been a nice one for them to do.
So,
I don't know. I'm worried Microsoft is going to give up on Mixer soon.
You think?
I think the writing's on the wall for Mixer, honestly. Didn't they downsize a lot of people from Mixer recently?
Yeah.
So I'm worried that they're going to give up on it. I hope they don't, because it's good to have, you know, opposing platforms out there fighting it out and giving consumers an option of where they want to go, but I don't think it looks good for Mixer.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
I mean, could I do. Be wrong, I've though. Been hopping. I've been hopping on there. Obviously to watch like some of the bigger like streamers once in a while, like Shroud and stuff like that. But like, I mean, I've been trying to like hop on there just to try and find like new people to watch too, but like it doesn't really seem like Mixer is incentivizing new users to try and establish themselves on their platform as much as Twitch is attempting to. Not saying that Twitch is like the best at it, but like they at least have some stuff in place to like try and give you some sort of like encouragement of doing so. Like I like that Twitch at least has like the, all right, well, like hit this little, like hit this like achievement basically. And if you do all these things, then you can, you know, you can get partnered and shit. Like Mixer, yeah. It seems like it's just kind of like, all right, you're here. Like,
like have fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I earn money on Mixer? Only if a whole lot of people watch you and there's not a lot of people here. So have fun.
Well, I mean, the numbers don't lie either. I mean, I was obviously like, one of the times that I was watching, it was recently for the new Call of Duty BR. And I was watching Shroud play it, and he was playing with, I think he was playing with Summit. And like Summit on Twitch had like, oh my God, it was like 60,000 people or something stupid like
Jesus.
That.
Jesus.
And Shroud had like 10,000. and Shroud, if Shroud was still on Twitch, I think those numbers would have been reversed, like 100%.
Wow.
Not saying that like Summit's been around for a long time, but like when Shroud was on Twitch, like his numbers were insane, like just absolutely insane. And I know his numbers obviously went down from going to Mixer, but there's still something to be said about like, I think there's still a lot of people that have those built-in fan bases and followings that like make the switch over to Mixer and are kind of still like, he's still got good numbers, like fucking 10K is nothing to like scoff at. You know,
he's got good numbers, but are those viewers going to other channels or are they just going there for Shroud and then leaving?
They're probably just going for him and then leaving.
Yeah.
Same
Which
thing
isn't
with
helping Mixer.
Right. Same thing with the people like Ninja and stuff like that. Like it's, but again, I don't feel like Mixer is doing enough to even keep users to want to hop to somebody else.
Yeah.
Like, I like the idea of like the whole like Embers thing, but there should be options to like do something more with them. Like the fact that you could just get like these like little animated like stickery things and that's it kind of sucks. Like, like that's.
I mean, Embers are the equivalent of bits on Twitch. So.
Or not, and not Embers, but the
Sparks.
Sparks is what yeah. I was. Yeah. The Sparks.
And initially you could give the Sparks and they would. Like a free form of Ember, and they were had a monetary value if the streamer got enough of them.
Right.
But then they got rid of that, and now it's just a percentage increase to monetary donations via Embers and subs, as opposed to being its own currency.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of it kind of having its own value. You know what I mean? Like, if, now, granted, like Twitch is kind of doing a similar thing. You could. Everybody's kind of got it set up different, but like you could earn these points by watching specific people, and then you could redeem those for like highlighting a message in chat, or like, you know, unlocking an emote if you're not a sub, or like, you know, like stuff like that. And there is, albeit is pretty basic, and I would say like almost Mixery, but I have more confidence in Twitch developing that to something more than that. Whereas Mixer has been sitting on that kind of thing for how long now, and I don't feel like it's really changed much since like they implemented it.
No. I don't know. I'm happy on Twitch, so.
I mean, there's no doubt that Twitch has a lot more of like a communally kind of feel to the player bases and like the interactions between like the people in chat and stuff. Not to say that like Mixer doesn't feel like that either, but it almost feels a little more forced, if that makes any sense. It's almost like people feel inclined to be like, hey, we're gonna make Mixer a great platform, let's all be the great, you know what I mean? Like, and that's just not like, it almost feels fake sometimes. Like, I like Like, I'll go in and I'm like, maybe it's just the play or the player base, the viewer base of like each platform is just so different. And like the style of people that I guess that I watch on each platform is so different that like when I hop over to Mixer and I'm watching chat, it's just people being like, I don't know. It's not as active. It's only like things that are pertinent to specifically what had happened in the game at that very moment and like nothing more than that. And then you go over to Twitch and it's like a fucking cesspool sometimes. Like, but again, it probably just depends on the people that I'm watching. So it's the, I don't know. I guess you're the company that you keep, and I guess your Twitch viewer base and Mixer viewer base operates in a similar way. Maybe I'm wrong, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. Cole, I'm waiting for you to just ban Aki at this point with you two arguing in chat.
I haven't seen any of it.
You're missing out, Chris.
I don't have the chat up at all. See, now, not having the chat up, I feel freer to speak however I would want to speak anyway and not influenced by whoever is in the chat and then taking them into consideration, because that's not what people are actually coming here to look for in commentary by a guest host, right? It's really just like, hey, you're here to like give your shit opinions, and then we could just call you out for your shit opinions, but you don't have to know about it.
You're not just a guest here. You're family here. Hey, and now that you don't have shows, maybe you'll be here a lot more often. Because you ain't got shit else to do.
As long as I still have internet, because they're calling me a lot.
Oh God.
Yeah. And food.
Yeah, food is good. So speaking of this whole shitty virus thing, what do you guys think of GameStop trying to claim that they are an essential retail business?
They could try. They sure can try. And you know what really sucks, though? I mean, honestly, like, I guess we could like talk about it a little bit, but like it's very upsetting to me that there's so many different companies, regardless of the industry that they're in, that they're more concerned about making sure that they still have profits coming in and not the betterment of their fellow man. It really pisses me off.
That's like, fucked up. They're in such a crazy time. There is still so much greed in the world, and it is fucking disgusting. We need to get rid of all the greed in the world right now and focus on helping each other. And GameStop needs to close their goddamn doors and not worry about trying to make their fucking pre-order numbers for a month or two.
Yeah, well, you know exactly why they had to fucking, like, push that they're an essential business, because essentially their entire business probably would have fucking gone under had it not been for Doom and Animal Crossing. So, like, fucking... Well, Animal Crossing got pushed back a little bit, didn't it?
No.
Or just some people's orders?
Doom released a day early. Animal Crossing comes out tomorrow as planned. Orders may be delayed.
I just saw somebody their order got... like pushed back a little bit.
Yeah, my sister's worried because her order's coming from Best Buy and it said it shipped today, but I checked the shipping and it's just like still hasn't been picked up by UPS. Still says it's arriving tomorrow, but it doesn't have any tracking information, so I don't think it's going to show up tomorrow.
Who knows?
Yeah, I ended up going digital with Animal Crossing.
I mean, I'm not going to be buying games for a while. I'm very jealous of anybody that gets to play Doom for the next foreseeable future.
Well, come down on Monday and play it. That's when mine's supposed to show up.
I can't go anywhere without gas. Or money to put in said gas tank. I've been stranded for like a week and a half.
Jeez.
Yeah, it sucks.
We'll give you $20 for gas.
You can teleport it to me.
With my mind.
Alright, well, I appreciate you letting me hop on and listen to all the specs of the new consoles without actually watching the conference, so I don't have to like
you bouncing already? We're not even done with news.
What else is there to talk about?
A lot of Game Pass news.
Oh, yeah, that thing I don't have anymore.
A bunch of games leaving Game Pass. Borderlands 2, Borderlands the pre-sequel, The Golf Club 2, Lego Worlds, Operancia the Stolen Sun, and Vampire are all leaving Game Pass for console. And then on the PC side of things, Battle Chef Brigade, City Skylines, Kingsway, Operancia the Golden Sun, Orwell Keeping an Eye on You, and Vampire are all leaving PC Game Pass. Any thoughts on those, Cole? That. Anything?
City Skylines is the only one that I was really like, I want to play that. But then again, it comes and goes pretty frequently, so I'm not overwhelmingly shocked if it goes out before I get a chance to play it. It'll be like, well, it'll probably be back in 2 months.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Dark Mika asking when Lego Worlds is leaving. Probably the end of the month. That's my guess. They usually show. They usually leave at the middle.
If it doesn't leave at the 17th, then it leaves at the 30th.
Yeah. It's not all bad news though, because games are coming to Game Pass. Just today, March 19th, we got Ace Combat 7, Skies Unknown, Kona, and The Surge 2 all on Game Pass. And next week on the 24th, we're getting Bleeding Edge, and on the 26th, Power Rangers Battle for the Grid.
So, interestingly, it's very easy to dismiss that Power Rangers game, but I know a lot of, like, fighting game, like, aficionados that are actually saying that it's pretty tight.
Hmm.
So...
I'll have to give it a go.
Yeah, I heard it's actually pretty good. So, like, don't sleep on that one.
Well, the good news is it's hitting console Game Pass and PC Game Pass, along with Bleeding Edge, The Surge 2, and Astralagaster on PC Game Pass.
Astralagaster?
I have heard other people lose their shit over that, but I know nothing about it.
Me neither.
I know nothing about it either.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
I know nothing in general.
This is weird news. The N64 game Shadow Man has been announced for a remaster in 2021 for Xbox One, Switch, PC, and PS4. So Shadow Man is coming back. Who saw that coming?
I don't know what that is.
I don't either.
Exactly. That is the point that was being made.
Yep. Don't know what that is. So...
And then the last bit of news I have is that a sequel to L.A. Noire may have been leaked this week, as a song was uploaded to YouTube and the auto tagging listed the album as being the music of L.A. Noire Part 2 and was provided by YouTube by Take-Two Interactive.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Damn.
I mean, I was wondering if they would ever do a number two of them, because number one was really good. I mean, for good and bad reasons, but like...
Yeah.
I'm curious to see, especially with like how advanced like face scanning technology has become over the years, and like how good character models have become in like replicating human emotion. I would like to play through a game that maybe like did that a little bit more intelligently now. Because I thought the concept was great. The execution was...
Okay.
It was all right. It was cool to experience like something a little bit fresh. Because at that point, like from what I remember when that game came out, like things were pretty boring. Like there hadn't been like that much. Like BRs were like just becoming a thing, right? Like not even yet.
I don't think Battle Royale was even around when L.A. Noire came out.
No, nope. the original version of Fortnite now is how many years old?
Not old enough to... L.A. Noire was on
360 and PS3.
Yeah.
Fortnite wasn't.
Fortnite was not around.
Yeah, but like how much later? Like 2 years? Like...
Oh, no.
No?
No. Hold on. I'm actually gonna... L.A. Noire came out in 2011. Fortnite, 2017.
So 6 years.
What is time? what is
something we don't have a lot of anymore?
What is time? Is time truly even a thing?
Oh God, I don't know. But that's the news I have. Chris, Cole, anything either of you wanted to talk about?
Mm-mm.
New Path of Exile League's cool.
Like, Darius the Snow brought up in chat that a prequel for The Messenger was kickstarted and was fully funded in like 24 hours.
Jeez.
I'm not surprised because The Messenger was awesome.
Yeah. That's the same thing I said. It was very well received, so I'm not surprised it was.
Hopefully the new game comes to Xbox.
The Messenger is funny because it's not on Xbox, but it is on Windows 10 with Xbox achievements.
I know. What the fuck? I hate when games do that. Game
Pass. I was playing it in Game Pass, yeah.
Devolver has a bunch of games like that, too, where they're not on Xbox, but they're on Windows 10 with Xbox achievements. Like, just fucking go all the way. Give it to us on Xbox, too.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Chris, always good having you here chatting. You'll have to come back again sometime, and we could all yell at each other about the fucking PS5 and Series X again.
I'm gonna send you videos on like newer transfer speeds of like drives and stuff. That's all.
Nice.
I'm gonna get you to understand computer hardware so hard that you're gonna You're gonna look at that stuff and you're just gonna be like, man, I could build something for like $200 cheaper.
Like, yeah, I don't see that happening.
You don't know. No, I've been spending my time. Actually, how about this? We haven't done this in a while since like I haven't been here in a while. Like, Joe, what are you playing?
That could lead us into the reviews, actually, because what I've been playing a lot of lately is Bless Unleashed.
You have been playing that a lot, actually.
I have.
I've been seeing that on like the Messenger thing, or the friends list.
Yeah.
That's what you were playing when I came over, right? That was that like MMOE kind of thing?
Yeah, the one that I played when you and Ian were here that I played for a little bit while you guys were here. Before it was launched, I was playing pre-release.
No, I mean, like, it looked... Especially having like a full blown like MMO experience on a console, like that's pretty nice. I'm glad that like there's more games that aren't afraid to tackle those types of genres, because I feel like a bunch of companies were kind of straying away from that because they were too afraid to take on like WoW and like a lot of other shit. But like, yeah. I think people are starting to realize that like open worldy MMO games like aren't. Like, it's not a sin to develop one now. I'm so happy that there's finally, like, a bunch of games that are attempting to take on the ARPG genre, because, like, Diablo is pretty rough shape as a franchise. pains me to say. But especially, like, dude, given how much I've been playing Path of Exile, like... I guess I'm really not that surprised. Like, it's I can't believe it took me this long, and that actually I can believe it. Like, it upsets me that Path of Exile hasn't brought on so many more people that enjoy Diablo, because it's just obviously unbearably more more deep, and there's just like a hell of a lot more going on in it.
No,
so I mean, I'm happy since I'm like on that level of like. Playing those types of games hardcore, and I'm glad that people aren't afraid to still make games like that. It's just a shame that like the franchise that did it the best is like trying to make it more like a mobile game.
Yeah. Makes me sad. Oh well. What are you gonna do?
But I'll find more games like that we could play together.
We got to play something soon.
We do, and now that I don't have Game Pass,
pick up Bless Unleashed. It's free to play. Give it a try. You might like it.
Oh, dude, you can't give me an MMO to play in these times right now, because, like...
What else do you have to do, Chris?
Figure out a way to pay my bills.
Stream Bless Unleashed.
To no one.
Hey, everyone starts with nobody, and now look at us. We're up to 7 viewers.
One for every year that we've been doing this.
I streamed PoE a little bit the other night. My microphone kept fucking up on me.
You gotta let me know when you stream so I could watch.
It wasn't that exciting. I was playing Path of Exile, so...
Dark Mika, half of us are staff. Do we count? Yes.
Yeah, yes. Mandatory meetings, yes.
This is group time.
Yeah.
Team building exercises.
Team building exercises and performance evaluations.
Aki's fired.
I might try and do some more streaming. I might stream some Magic, since that, like, just it's I felt like it was a lot easier for me to stream that to nobody, because I could still talk through plays. So if somebody popped in, it was easier to keep them engaged. Whereas, like, Path of Exile, nobody's in the chat. I'm just fucking running around killing shit. Like, what do you say? Like, what do you know what I mean? Like, you can't really. It's very difficult to hold the conversation with yourself on nothing until, like, something cool drops, which it never does. So, like,
see, that's why you fire up a Skype call and you
go, fuck.
Just chat with people over while you're doing it.
See, I need to just have, like, a built-in crew that I could just be like, yo, I'm going to stream for a bit. You should come in and hang out.
Text me. I'm a text away, Chris. That's all you got to do.
I know. I'm bad at it. Bad at a lot of things.
Yeah, we all are. Yeah. I'm bad at podcasting.
I'm bad at preparing for plagues.
So are we. We all are.
Yeah.
Plagues are not kind to gig economies.
Dude, it just sucked that much more for me because, like, the first one that got canceled on me was, like, we didn't even have any cases in the U.S. yet.
Wow.
Like, I haven't had a gig in, like, 3 weeks.
The art gallery showing that I was preparing for the end of this month, it was canceled. So now I've got a whole bunch of framed artwork just chilling out here, costing money and not being sold. So I'm with you. I understand.
Yeah. No, because the first one, it was at a casino, so I get it. Like, like larger group. But, like, it was well before, like, there was any sort of, like, mandates or anything going on, like, in the States at all. And I was just like, what the fuck is this, like, this corona bullshit, like, nobody was even, like, talking, like, it was, like, right when people started talking about it. Like, as soon as people started talking about it, then, like, that gig got canceled, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, so, I've been hurting for a bit now, and it just sucks, because, like, I guess, from what I understand with the stimulus package that they're proposing, I'm not sure the channels that are necessary that it's needed to prove that you can, like, acquire one of those said checks, but, like, everything that I've been attempting to do as, like, a freelancer has been very difficult, even just when it comes to, like, health insurance and all that kind of stuff, because, like, I could show them, like, pay stubs until I'm blue in the face, until it says that, like, I work for XX company, they don't give a shit, like, so.
Yeah, same boat. I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, I'm just gonna play some games and try not to think about it for a little bit, so.
Yeah, that's all we can do.
Yep. Just ride it out.
Just keep doing this dumb show and hope we could take people's minds off of reality for an hour or two at a time, and or 2.5 hours, 3 hours, whatever.
Well, dude, I tell you what, man, like, I value every single minute that I can have as a distraction, so I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, it was good having you here, Chris. We'll let you get going.
All right, man. It was nice to hear from you.
Let's play something soon.
We shall. All right, bye, guys. Bye.
See ya. Well, Cole, you ready to do some reviews?
Yep. Let's knock it out.
We started to do it, but our next installment of Bless Unleashed, developed by NeoWiz Round 8 Studio, published by Bandai Namco, released as a free-to-play game on Xbox One March 12th. Journey across a vibrant, persistent world to take on and survive vicious, lethal monsters that inhabit this untamed landscape. Choose between one of 5 classic classes, each with its own combo-driven combat experience handcrafted for online play. Gather your party to explore and survive a richly detailed world of dangerous beasts and divine secrets. Cole, I'm guessing you kind of gave up on this one, huh?
Yeah. It just didn't hook you, did it? I had a lot this week, and it just kind of fell apart. And I was like, I keep seeing it on my hard drive, and I'm like, later, next one, I'll get it. And then it's like, fuck, it's 8 o'clock on Thursday, and I didn't touch that shit. I think I have a case of, I can acknowledge it's good. I can acknowledge it's pretty. I can be objective that it's, you know, a solid game, but
it's just not for you.
Subjectively, it's not hooking me. And so I keep finding ways to like push it to the back burner. And now it's like crusted onto the bottom of the pan.
Well, I still want to play with you sometime. We really have to get together and party up and see if we could get you hooked, kind of like I've been hooked on it. I'm still playing daily. I'm up to level 23 now. I know last time I talked about it, I hit kind of like a slow area in the game. Uh-huh. And they even discussed that this was like a commonly complained about slow area. The 15 to 20 grind in this game was rough. It was like there wasn't a lot to do. But thankfully, once I hit 20 and I completed the level 19 quest, there's an arena quest that's locked off until you hit level 19. That's what the grind is about, because you usually get to that around level 15, and you can't do that quest until you hit 19. And that's where that grind came from. I ended up getting there. I'm not a fan of the arena stuff because you have to partner up with strangers. That was why I was saying I wanted to help get you into the game so that we could do this. But
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I ended up doing it with a stranger. I ended up completing it. And thankfully, the game opened up again a lot after that. There were a lot more quests to do, a lot more areas to go to. I feel like I'm only still like 30% of the map unveiled with how far I've gotten into this game. It feels like there's still so much more I have to do. I'm getting these quests that are like way off into the darkness of my uncovered map.
Wow.
Like, I don't know when the fuck I'm getting to that area. What level do I have to get to for that? I know there's an achievement for level 40, so you could get fairly high in the game. But I'm enjoying my time with this game. I'm not sure if we're going to keep doing this weekly. There's just not much left to really talk about. All I could really think to talk about now are just kind of gripes that I have with the game, where I still wish there was more to do. I find myself logging on and wanting to do like some of the daily quests. There's like world monsters that everyone gangs up on and takes up and takes down. Kind of like that Wolf King at the very beginning that you were talking about. There's monsters like that everywhere, and you beat them for a big experience boost and a chest that comes packed with a whole bunch of goodies, equipment and crafting supplies, stuff like that. And you basically, it comes down to grinding those daily events and daily quests. And there's times where I'll log on and there's just not much to do because I already did them and the next day didn't pop up in game yet. And I wish there was more.
Yeah. I'm curious if that gap that you're talking about, where it like lulls as you grind out the XP and stuff, if that's not like a microtransaction type of thing to get you to buy.
I don't think it is, because there's like the boosts really don't affect that much in the game. Like there's a lot of the cosmetics are basically, or a lot of the microtransactions are pretty much cosmetics.
Cosmetic.
Yeah.
Hmm.
They do sell like a reputation booster, an experience booster, but they're not required at all. And they really don't do that much for you in the long run. Like you can earn experience scrolls in the game. I have a couple now that it's like boost experience for 3 hours. I'm like, well, I don't want to use it until I know I'm going to sit down for a couple hours to play this.
Cause it's not one of those situations where it's only active when you're playing.
I have no clue. I didn't try it, so I didn't want to try it, use it, and then log off, log back in, and it's gone.
Yeah, that's how it is on Elder Scrolls, is that you use it and it's gone, whether you're there or not.
Yeah.
But and there are other games, like Call of Duty has some that you can get some tokens, and they're only effective while you're actually in a game.
Yeah, that's how it should be.
Yeah,
but I can understand why
even like if you're sitting on a menu screen on Call of Duty, it doesn't count against you. It's only when you're actively in a match.
That's definitely good. The other real big complaint I could think of with Bless is the weapon and equipment upgrade system. Mm-hmm. I think I went over this before, where they have enhancement people that you talk to that can improve your equipment. They have a common enhancer and a master enhancer. If you go to enhance your item, there's a chance it could fail.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I talked about this with the repair kits that are absurdly priced on the marketplace. I'm getting really fucking frustrated with how frequently enhancements fail for me. Even with the master enhancer, thankfully you can't break an item with the master enhancer. You could just fail. But even if it's a fail, you wasted all those star seeds and all your ancient cores trying to upgrade this, and you went nowhere with it. And it happens way too frequently. I had enough to upgrade something like 4 times and it failed twice on a master enhancer. That shit shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Not when I'm dropping that much currency.
Yeah, there should be a point where it's just like, no, this is 100% going to work.
Yeah, and that's part of the grind, is you got to grind these daily quests to get equipment to break down so you could get ancient cores so that you could upgrade your equipment so that you can do more in the game, because, you know, the game comes down to a gear score and how prepared you are for the area that you're in. And, you know, if you're not high enough leveled, or if you're not powered enough, like if I try to take on an enemy that's has a red gear score level, I automatically lose 60% of my damage.
Wow.
Yeah. 60%. So trying to kill enemies like that is damn near impossible. And, you know, it comes down to just grinding and improving your stuff. And how frequently it fails when you're trying to upgrade your stuff is just frustrating. Darius the Snow. So the message is, play Ori over Bless Unleashed. Yeah, probably.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Did you miss last week? Was it when I was like, play nothing but Ori ever? Play Ori.
Yeah. But yeah, Bless Unleashed, honestly, at this point, it's still free to play, so I would say give it a go. It can't hurt to give it a download and see if you like it. At the worst, you won't enjoy it, and you'll have a game on your hard drive that, you know, whatever. You have achievements that it's on your gamer tag, and you can't get all the achievements because you quit, and tough shit. If achievements are that big of a deal to you, don't start the game. next game to talk about is called Neon City Riders, developed by Mecha Studios, published by Bromio, released March 12th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and Steam for $19.99. Explore a decaying futuristic city in search of items, superpowers, and companions to free all the turfs of the evil gangs and unite their people again. Cole, tell us about Neon City Riders.
So, I had a lot of hope for Neon City Riders. It was a really promising premise. You got an open world, you can explore, it's kind of cyberpunky, it's a little dystopian, it's a grungy, nasty ass cityscape. You got a hero who dons a hockey mask. Like, there's not a lot to be mad at. But the game dives so head over heels in trying to be nostalgic that it kind of kicks itself in its own ass. And that is where I found myself really disappointed with Neon City Riders.
Hmm.
I want to point out too that when you load up a game called Neon City Riders, you're going to expect maybe some flashing lights or some vibrant colors. It's going to be a little cyberpunky after all, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every dialogue box flashes, and there is no way to turn it off.
Yeah, there is an epilepsy warning at the beginning of the game, and they need to stress it a bit more, because there's a lot of flashing in this game.
And there were times where I was like, I'm going to puke. This is apparently a thing I've had trouble with the last few years, and it's getting increasingly either my tolerance for this shit is getting worse, or games are just really cranking it to 11 lately. Neon City Riders definitely cranks it to 11. But I was like, after about a half hour or so, I was like, I have to take a break and just rest my brain, because this hurts. If you could go in and like turn it off, like screen shake, I'd feel very different about it. But that not being there is definitely not good. In fact, there aren't any options at all. None. You can't even pause the game. When you're exploring, my computer tried to go to sleep. It's like, but you sat here too long. I gotta go change that setting, apparently.
You're not playing Slay the Spire right now? What?
No, I'm not. I'm actually paying attention to the chat. I'm queen of bad decisions. But anyway, Neon City Riders. You can't even pause the game. So if you find yourself in a position where like you just need to stop to go piss, you better find somewhere relatively safe to just stand. You can't pause. Nothing happens. Like, you can smash those buttons till your fingers fall off. They don't care. Then I also lost my notes because I had to shake the mouse. So if you can get past the flashing, if you can get past the fact that you can't fucking pause to go pee, then I have one other pretty severe complaint about the game. I have a shit for sense of self-direction or a sense of direction. I just can't. I'm very dependent on games saying, even when you can explore, saying, hey, at least try to go that way sometime. Or at least giving you some kind of hint that you can kind of sleuth out the way you're supposed to go. Neon City Riders literally has a running joke about the NPCs telling you conflicting information. So there is a whole lot of back and forth, just because you simply don't know where else the fuck you can even go. My biggest complaint about that is that, look, I have hand fatigue, guys. I get tired, okay? My body hurts. I'm old and I'm bitchy. And I get that people love nostalgic retro pixel art games that just remind them of the 80s and 90s. And it's great. I get it. I chuckled at some of the references too. But we're old now. And my hands get fatigued when I have to go back and forth. Just let me go one way, explore it, and then go another way and explore it. I was literally going, okay, I can go anywhere. And the game's very much like, go anywhere, have fun, bye. And you're like, cool, see ya, I'm going left. And then you go left and you're just standing there and you're like, I can't go anywhere. I've hit a dead end. So then you go back right, and it's like, congratulations, you went right. You found a pen, which is the way you get power-ups, which is really adorable, honestly. But it's like, now you can dash. And I'm like, well, that fucking took long enough. Now you can dash through boxes. Great. Oh, the boxes were all the way the other side.
Yeah, there's... Oh, man.
Fuck me! just, I don't know. It's... I'm salty about it because in my head it's bad level design, you know?
Yeah. And it wouldn't be so hard if it wasn't so, like, brutally difficult right off the bat.
Yeah.
Like, this game doesn't fuck around with how quickly it's challenging you to, like, running through, you know, slamming doors and rotating fire wands that are going to take you out in one hit.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to get through this immediately.
And to add a little insult to injury to that, the save system is literally you punch a punching bag.
Yeah.
Now, you can die and there's checkpoints and you'll come back and that's fine. But your actual save system is you better fucking hit that punching bag. And those punching bags are very unevenly spaced. Like, you may have one in every room in one area, and then you may go through a whole nother area and never see one. And you're just left going, can I save? Because I need to pee, and I can't pause. So, I don't want a whatever those things that pop out of the water and spit at you are. Whatever malformed fish it's supposed to be. Like, I don't want to die because that thing just pops up out of the water when I think I'm safe. It's surprisingly it's very difficult, but in a not fun way.
No.
I'm sure there are people out there who'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about. That's great. But for me, and I'm the reviewer, so my opinion matters and nobody else does. That's just it. It seems like an artificial way to pad the game to make it more than it is.
No.
And for me, it just led to me losing interest. As far as actual gameplay, it's very repetitive. A lot of the puzzle solutions is just flipping switches. You get lost. You find an NPC who has what you need. You flip some more switches. You get lost. And then you just keep doing it. You know, lather, rinse, repeat. So it was really hard for me to, like, stay into the game because it was just...
It feels like the game didn't want you to stay into it.
Yeah, it was like, well, you found a pin. Good job. Now get fucked. And I was like, okay, consider myself fucked. I'm going to go play something.
Oh, man. Well, overall, $20 on this one. What are you thinking?
I'm going to give it a very low, hesitant try it. I think there are people that are really going to enjoy Neon City Riders. I think I'm just not that person.
Do you think it's a Bless Unleashed situation where it's a good game, it's just not for us? Or because I personally, like, I can agree with you that it's a hesitant try it, but it just feels like this game doesn't want people to enjoy it. It seems like there's a lot of parts of the game that are just actively working against you and trying to push you away from it. And that kind of bothers me.
It feels like it's done in the vein of, well, we didn't have games that held our hands back in the day. And it's like, yeah, but that was also a problem and not a perk. Yeah. It wants to gloss over the problems of games from you know, our generation and try to make them a nostalgic joy as opposed to being the problematic limitations that they actually were.
Yeah. And it's not like we hate hard games because, you know,
I played Ori. Yeah, Ori's hard as fuck and I beat it 100%. So, I mean, I'm capable. It's just, I just didn't want to.
No. And speaking of hard games, the next one to talk about is called Exit the Gungeon, developed by Dodge Roll, published by Devolver Digital, released March 17th on Switch and Steam for $9.99. Exit the Gungeon is a bullet hell dungeon climber immediately following the adventures of the misfit Gungeoneers in their journey for personal absolution in Enter the Gungeon. Cole, they're getting the hell out of the dungeon, the gungeon. What do you think of this one?
Nothing makes me feel like a garbage gamer like Gungeon. And yet here's the thing. I just said that Neon City Riders was hard without any value, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gungeon makes you feel satisfactory when you beat it. It doesn't make itself hard just for the sake of being hard. Like, there's a challenge, but it can be overcome, and when you do, you feel like you accomplished something more than just, like, blowing some time. Exit the Gungeon does have a few things that's different from Enter the Gungeon. So if you're going into it thinking it's a whole hog sequel, stop right there. It's not. It's a spinoff. It does pick up following the events. You've killed your past. Spoiler alert for anybody that hasn't played Gungeon. You know, you've killed your past. Your Gungeoneers have wreaked havoc on the Gungeon, and now it's falling apart around them, and they got to get the fuck out of it. Can't go back the way you came in, so good luck to you. Now there are a series of elevators. There's a whole bunch of verticality involved. It's a really neat, unique twist on Gungeon. It's interesting how much a game can change just by rotating it 90 degrees. And I keep thinking that you have, like, hung up because...
No, I'm here.
It's Twitch is being wonky. And so I keep thinking that it's gone. Everything died because Twitch died.
Click.
Yeah.
Hello? Hello? I'm so alone.
But it's amazing how much that you can change up a game just by rotating it a little bit. So that kind of verticality, though, results in some interesting mechanics because it becomes less of a top-down twin stick type of shooter and more of a platforming shmup, which in its own right is a unique kind of fusion of genres. It's definitely a bullet hell there are some larger rooms, but there are also some that are smaller. And sometimes you get stuck in these tiny ass rooms with these big ass bosses that just fuck your shit up. So I want to be very clear about something, because I played Exit the Gungeon on the Switch, and I am garbage at using the Switch.
You need a pro controller.
We do have a controller, but it is not a pro controller. It's just, it feels very much like a 360 controller. Mm. One of those Power A ones. And that, it does help, but there, I can't wrap my head around the button configuration to save myself. Like, X is Y, and Y is X, and A is B, and B is A. Mm-hmm. So it made learning to do the dodge rolls very difficult. And it's even harder because it has vertical ascending and descending dodge rolls now. Because, like I said, there are some platforming elements involved as well that weren't in the original Enter the Gungeon. Still, though, if you're determined to practice it, play it, and accept that you're going to lose, you will eventually make progress. Some people are insane. I know Shiz was complaining how, like, Brown Man beat the whole game with all 7 characters in, like, just a few hours. But he's also not human.
Jesus.
I don't know how anybody could do that. I'm, like, a couple hours in, and I'm like, yeah, I made it to the second floor. Because that's just what happens with me in Gungeon. I will be months before I make it to any boss of value. But that's okay, because even when I have a run that fails, I feel like I have made an accomplishment. I've gotten a little better. I've seen something different or new, and I've changed the game for the better. So that's definitely a far more enjoyable way to play a difficult game. Which is why I tend to be pretty lenient on Gungeon, because I think if it can keep pulling you back and you go, no, I know I died in the second room, but just one more run. I can't stop like that. That's good game design.
Yeah, this is a good hard game that encourages you to keep playing, not a less good hard game that kind of pushes you away.
Yeah, yeah. So I was definitely very happy with Gungeon. I enjoyed my time with it. It was worth the wait. I think Switch exclusivity is bullshit, because I think all exclusivity is bullshit.
Yeah.
But
it'll show up elsewhere soon enough.
But I am happy that it has at least moved on from Apple Arcade. And I am incredibly grateful to get to play. I have been watching it ever since they announced it. I'm like freaking out. I love Gungeon. I was very excited, and I was not disappointed. Yeah, it's difficult. Yeah, I'm gonna be plugging away at it for fucking ever. If the kids ever go back to school, this is basically just going to be my life. It's just one more run. One more run before the bus gets here.
You're gonna delete this one, aren't you?
I don't know if I can, because I know I shouldn't admit it, but number 3 was playing it, and she's very into it, and she's very good.
Nice.
She was like, I died, I'm going to do it again. She doesn't have that, oh, fuck, I need a break attitude. She's just like, I died 74 times in a row, but it's okay, I'm going to go do it again.
Oh, man. Well, overall, $10 on Exit the Gungeon. What do you think?
Absolute buy it. Man, Gungeon is just like the gold standard for how you do a hard game. They didn't disappoint.
Nice. Well, I'm glad that you enjoyed it.
My wrists are mad, though. I cannot get used to the Switch stuff to save myself. They're just like, every time I was trying to play handheld, just to see if I could. Man, the Switch is heavy. Like 15 minutes of fighting with the joy thingies and holding the Switch, I was like, this sucks, dock it to the TV for me. Because I can't figure out how to use the Switch, and I'm like a grandma, and I just holler at number 1 to do it for me.
Oh god.
I'm like, I don't know.
It's not that hard to use. Jesus, woman.
Smashing it down on the dock going, I don't know how this works, just hook it to the TV.
Okay, Grandma.
I know.
Next game to talk about is called Ritual Crown of Horns, developed by Draw Distance, published by Feardemic, released March 13th on Xbox One and PS4 for $19.99. Ritual Crown of Horns is a skill-based game where split-second decisions and planning are on the go are more powerful than button mashing and throwing yourself mindlessly at enemies. Cole, what is Ritual?
Holy fuck. So, Ritual kind of plays like a horde game. The premise is you are kind of like a mercenary who has been sent by the government to hunt this witch. And when you get there and you are about to kill the witch, the government sends other mercenaries to come kill you. So you don't actually kill the witch because the government betrays you. But the witch does what witches do. And she brings you back. And she says, they were going to kill me. They did kill you. How about we work together? We go kill them. It's pretty simple plot line, but it plays out very well. I was not disappointed. Normally I can be a little pissy about games that will have a sprite, but then use like a portrait for the dialogue. Because a lot of times those don't match up. and I'm nitpicky enough to be like, that's not what your character model looks like. Do it right. you know,
artist. It reminds me of a picture I saw on Facebook recently of Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
I saw that. And then I was like, ah!
It's like, why does your sprite have short hair, but your picture has long hair? It's like, what the fuck?
Gets me. I can't stand it. Just be consistent with your characters. Anyway, so I'm very happy to report I didn't have that problem with the Ritual. I was like, yeah, everything looks good and it's very solid. I was really digging the art style. Everything is just dark and moody and kind of muddy, blood red, brown, and I'm like, yeah, I'm down for this. This is awesome. When you're actually in a level, before you start a level, you're presented with a map, and you actually get to choose your path and where you're going to go, and you get to see what your rewards are going to be for each area that you go to. When you start a level, it plays out that the witch is sort of in a trance and casting a spell. So sometimes she'll be out in the open in like the woods. Sometimes she's in a building. She will be surrounded by barriers. And then the cultists will come in as a horde mode, essentially. And it's your job to run like fuck around the entire map and keep them cleared out so that they don't get into the witch's area and damage her. Once your witch is destroyed, then it's game over and you have to start the level again.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be super careful with that. That said, there are a few quirks. When you offered this game to me on Steam, Cat just tore something apart. When you offered this game to me on Steam, there was a note that said that when you were aiming, they couldn't call it a twin stick because when you were aiming, you couldn't move. And that was one of the things that pulled me away from it. I was like, it looks super cool, but I'm not sure I could get on board with playing like that. That's not how it plays on Xbox, oddly enough. I don't know if maybe they patched it somewhere in between and they changed it because other people probably had the same attitude I did. But playing it on Xbox, you can't actually move. Your movement is slowed if you're aiming, which is reasonable. And the souls that you collect from destroying the cultists, they don't come to you as quickly. So if you can't just like spam the aim because you need those souls to come to you so that you can cast spells to help protect you and the witch. So if you find yourself down, like you have a spell that costs 15 souls, but you only have 12, your other ones are just floating around lagging behind because you're holding down your aim and rather than like letting go and giving yourself a moment. So you have to be kind of thoughtful with like who you're aiming at, for how long, how, what weapon you're aiming with. You start off with nothing more than a pistol. you do eventually unlock a shotgun. And if you, I think it's the god of guns, oddly enough. You literally go in and shoot up a church.
Oh, and, God.
Yeah. I mean, it's a church of cultists. But
well, that's fine then.
It's a little different. It's not like a something that most Americans would get their bloomers twisted over. But they're literally cultists who worship the god of guns. And you have to go kill them so that you can get the god of guns to join your team. And then I'm pretty sure he gives you the crossbow, oddly enough. The crossbow is the best weapon in the game. I don't care what else I unlocked. I was like, fuck it, it's not the crossbow. Because if you have a map where there's like these long sight lines, you can shoot one crossbow bolt and take out 8 to 10 enemies. It just shoo through them all one shot. And then if you have, sometimes power-ups will drop while you're in these levels. So you can get hellacious speed, which lets you run around faster, obviously. But you can also get instant reload. So if you have the crossbow equipped with instant reload and you're just like letting them line up through these choke points and just zoop, dropping them. It's so satisfactory. Like, you should not be able to enjoy that as much as I was. But every time I did it, I was like, fuck yeah, get fucked. Yeah, I'm the best. Die, cultist. It was awesome, and I was super into it. I was a little hesitant because of what I had read before on Steam to enjoy Ritual Crown of Horns, but I did, and I was super into it. I even found myself like, I was like, man, I've played a lot of Exit the Gungeon, but I've also played a lot of Ritual Crown of Horns. And then I was mulling over how I was going to decide which one was going to be my game of the week, because I loved them both so much. And I did not, under any circumstances, expect to love it that much. But I did. And wow. I really, really hope more people check it out and get into it, because it's... You know, the story could, I guess, feel a little bland, but for a top-down horde mode type of game, it's really well done, and it keeps you on your toes.
Nice. So overall, $20?
Buy it. Buy it and play it, please.
Awesome. Sounds good. I'll have to give this one a go myself.
I think you should. You're probably not going to do well because shooter, but...
Well, I'm not bad at twin stick shooters. It's the first person shooters that fuck me up.
You'll be okay. Stick with the pistol for as long as you can, like, kill things with it. Because if you, well, it's a first person shooter trick. But if you hit to aim and then shoot immediately and then let go and hit to aim and, like, get that rhythm down, it will auto aim on the enemies that are coming at you. Because it snaps to your next enemy. So if you're close enough and you're popping a few of them in a row, you're going to chew through them pretty quickly and find yourself being like, wow, that was far easier than I expected for, you know, being a dead guy getting chased down by cultists while trying to save a witch. But it's convoluted, but it works.
Nice. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed that one.
I really did.
All right. Well, I'm sure you enjoy the next one because of who it's from, but the next game to talk about is The Secret Order Shadow Breach, developed and published by Artifacts Mundi, released March 20th on Xbox One for $14.99. There are dark secrets that have an annoying tendency to crawl back into the light, escaping oblivion, but there is also Sarah Pennington, the most skilled agent of the ever-watching Secret Order, who is there to face them. Cole, I know you love Artifacts. How's this one?
I mean, it should tell you a lot that anything topped Artifacts Mundi for my game of the week. This was just a good week for me in general, to as far as review games went. But I have one major complaint about the Secret Order. Okay, It's something I have bitched about before, and I'm going to do it again. The Secret Order Shadow Breach is the 7th title in this series. But it is the first game of this title on Xbox. I have no fucking idea what happened in this game. None. The characters are like, oh, great, you have this, and oh, you're doing that. And I'm like, I don't fucking know what any of this is. I'm very confused. Please, for the love of God, I know I have said a million times, bring all of your games to Xbox and I will play them with glee. And I did not lie, and I have not changed my stance on that. But please bring them to Xbox in order. Because this is rough.
So aside from not making sense, what did you think of it?
I will say this is one of the prettiest. Artifacts Monday games are pretty by nature, okay? They're all hand illustrated. They're very painterly. They're very aesthetic. They're hidden object games, and the scenes are just gorgeous. And that's that. They're not at all, you know, dropping the ball with the Secret Order. I also completely lost my train of thought. Just like that, out the door.
Proud of you. Stop thinking about your computer, Cole.
I'm looking at it and just mesmerized by the RGB. But
goddamn green fan, or no?
that is throwing off my groove. Fucking hate green. But the games are just pretty. They're voice acted. I think I was surprised at what a jump in quality the animation was for the Secret Order. But then again, it's the seventh one in the series. Maybe that's why they brought it out first and not the first one.
True.
The animation quality. Artifacts Money games are known for being like a little shady in the facial region of animation. And one of the things about them charging more for them was they're like, well, they'll look better. The Secret Order, if that this one is any indication of that being true, I would say, yeah, it's a good indication. There's definitely, it still has that started life as a mobile game animation aesthetic, but it's far less uncanny than previous games have been. It definitely looks smoother. It looks a lot better. I was also impressed that there's been quite a shakeup in the puzzle variants. I've played a lot of Artifacts Money games.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them. It was getting to a point where it was very rare for me to see an Artifacts Monday game that had puzzles that I hadn't seen in one of the other ones. Yeah. They were definitely recycled there for a little while. I'm proud to say that the Secret Order, I don't think I ran into any that I was like, oh yeah, this is exactly what I've done before. Even some of them had similar concepts. One of the ones that's popular in the older Artifacts Monday games is that it will tell you a story and you have to look for elements of the story in the scene, but it doesn't outright tell you which one. There is one of those like puzzle / mini games in the Secret Order, but rather than having like a storybook or a play, like you have to actually match the items that you're looking for with other elements of the scene. It's kind of like they've mashed up a few different other puzzle types to come up with a new one, and it works really well. And I was like, even though like it's one of those instances where it's just different enough that you don't feel like you're rehashing, but it's also familiar enough that you can play it and be like, oh yeah, I know what I'm doing, which is a good happy medium to find. I know that most people don't play as many of these as I do. So that's probably far less of an issue for somebody that is just finding their way into an Artifacts Monday game. But if you have a history with them, then you're going to be like, yeah, this feels fresh and it's good. I wasn't disappointed other than just being absolutely confused. And that kind of bugs me because in the past I've been like, oh no, you know, these are, there are certain story beats or whatever that I like better or didn't like. And I feel like I can't do that this time because I don't fucking know what happened.
Yeah.
I was just like, I don't know who these people are or why they're doing these things or why any of this matters. And that was really my only complaint about it, though. Like, there were so many other boosts that I didn't mind because I was just like, hey, give me puzzles. I like to find things. And so I wasn't disappointed. I was just confused.
Yeah. Well, then overall, $15 on this one. What do you think?
I'm still going to roll with a buy it. Look, if you play hidden object games, if you've played Artifacts Monday, I think you're going to find that there is a noticeable step up in quality. You just have to be expecting to not know what you're doing. Like, yeah. The story's going to be lost on us until the rest of the series comes out. But for what it is, the improvements, I'm down for it. I think they keep riding on undefeated with their buy it's.
Nice.
Stop making me wait so long, though.
My only worry with this one, if they bring out the older games, is that they might feel like a step down.
Yeah. And that happened with Nightmares from the Deep, because they released that one. They released 2, 3, and then 1. And I was like, 1 felt like it was slightly less quality.
Yeah.
And so I can definitely see that being an issue. I think that would probably be a case of where it'd probably be quality-wise a better idea to release it as a bundle. At least be like, oh, hey, here's 1 through 5 for $20. I would even pay a little more, you know, say $20 or $25 to see them just bundled up together, because you know that there's no way they're going to match the quality. 1 through 5 is obviously not going to be as high quality as, say, maybe 6 and definitely 7.
No.
So, yeah, I can get that being a reasonable concern. But I still want them.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. Final game to talk about tonight is called Thunderpod, developed by Sergio Poveroni, hopefully.
I don't fucking know.
Poveroni, maybe. Published by Radaleka Games, released March 17th on PS4 and Vita, 18th on Xbox One, 20th on the Switch for $4.99. Thunder was out playing with his ball in the fields when suddenly he heard a loud explosion near his house. He rushed home, worried about his parents, only to find no one was there. Just a single letter that said his parents had been kidnapped. It's up to Thunder to rescue his parents. Cole, tell us about Thunderpaw.
Thunder goes from being like a casual little pup in a field playing with a ball to being like ripped out of Rambo. I don't understand what happened there. Not asking questions. With Radalekas, you don't. You just accept that they're a little off the cuff. And it's fine. He's definitely a buff little motherfucker with a gun now. I don't know where he got the gun. I don't know why he has it, except for the fact that he's just going to go and, like, save his parents.
He's out for vengeance.
He's out for vengeance. He's just mad, and now he's like Rambo somehow. I don't know if I would quite classify this as a platformer. There are some platforming elements. Each level basically has a set number of enemies in it, and in order to progress, you have to kill every enemy.
Action platformer. There we go.
Yeah, we'll roll with that. There is a counter at the top. And when I say, oh, you have to kill every enemy, it's not like, oh, there's 100 or whatever. It's rather like a game, guys. There's literally like 7 some levels, okay? 12 here, 15 there. It's very minor numbers we're talking. The enemies are a little odd. Thunder, for the record, is a dog, if we've not made that clear enough. But Thunder is a dog. So your enemies are like a pig with a pitchfork, a cat with a gun. I think one I ran into was a bear. There's a boss that's a monkey that throws grenades at you. None of this fuck makes that sense. Monkey. Fuck the monkey, though. Well, don't fuck the monkey, but like, fuck the monkey. None of it makes sense, and yet you kind of don't care that it doesn't, because I very much so found myself playing the game mindlessly and being okay with it. It was easy enough that you could just like go through it, but it was not so easy that you didn't care if you didn't get through, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't so stupidly simple that I just was like, put down the controller because I couldn't even keep it interested. But it was like, nah, it's a Rattalaika. I'm just going to kind of mindlessly blast through it and be happy about it. Some of the levels, in order to get the achievements, you have to find the secret in every level. I don't give a fuck if you actually beat the level. It just wants you to find the secret for the sake of the achievements. You do have to beat at least 12 levels in order to get the completion, though. And two bosses. You have to also beat two bosses. And one of them is that fucking monkey.
Goddamn monkey.
The source of contention. The biggest reason that the monkey is a source of contention is because you have very limited range on your gun. When you're playing the levels itself, it's just like, man, we gotta get close to shit. Big deal. You may or may not get hit. No big deal. Most things drop health, so it's definitely no big deal. But there is a weird quirk with the controls in that sometimes, no matter how many times I would tell Thunder to go left, he would just walk backward. And no matter how many times I told him to go right, he would just stand there and not go. The controls could stand to be a little tighter.
I didn't run into that at all.
I had issues. I was like, look, I know I'm not that great at, like, everything, but sometimes this little motherfucker just doesn't want to go.
That's weird. I didn't run into that.
Really difficult to get him to even aim or whatever. Like, he would just kind of stop and freeze, and then I'd die, and then come back in and be able to go on and be fine. And I was like, okie dokie. It wasn't something that was damning enough that I didn't want to finish the game or get the completion. It was just an odd quirk I had. Maybe they'll patch it. For all the grief everybody gives Rattalaika for their continuous easy completions that come out every week, I will say they're at least pretty solid at getting patches and stuff out when they're due. So I'm not gonna like be overbearing and be like, it was fucking broken, because I don't know, it needs a patch, but it'll probably get one and it'll probably be fine, knowing Rattalaika.
Yeah.
And even still, it wasn't so game breaking that I couldn't play. It was just a mild annoyance. But yeah, it was easy, mindless fun. I mentioned too that you don't have a lot of range on the gun, and that's why we keep saying that fucking monkey, because you have to get really close to it and it throws grenades. But what makes it worse is that when you shoot, Thunder bounces back with each shot. And it's like, no, motherfucker, with them kind of muscles, you need to be able to hold your ground. But also, he bounces back anyway. But when you have such a limited range, that means you waste a lot of time like going back to just to get close enough to the enemy so that you can do it. I think my greatest time investment into completing Thunderpaw is just the time I've spent walking back to the enemy after I've shot a few times and bounced backward.
I mean, you brought up the range. There is a way to increase the range of the gun. When you kill enemies, they drop blue crystals, and as you collect them, it fills up a gauge. The more you fill up the gauge, the further your gun will shoot. The problem is when you take damage, it goes down.
Yeah.
And if you die to a boss, it starts at zero. So, like,
there's no way to get it back.
Unless you replay a stage and build it back up, which is, I found myself replaying stage 4 like 5 times to every time I would die to the boss, because he was a pain in the ass to fight, throwing the goddamn grenades. And as you got him lower in health, he would start moving backwards faster and faster with less time to actually shoot him. And I died to him a few times, and every time I would have to replay the stage before to build up my gun so I could actually try fighting the monkey again.
That was definitely problematic.
Yeah, and then my other minor gripe with the game is I appreciate the fact that the levels are fairly wide open and that there's branching paths. The problem is you have to kill all the enemies in a stage. So it just, it requires a lot of backtracking and looping around and going through areas you've already completed just to go back and kill enemies that you might have missed. And that's
one thing that they could do about that is that, and excuse me, I need to get a cough drop real quick. I do not have the coronavirus. I have an allergy.
Yeah, bullshit. And,
spring is here. My allergies are like, fuck you. excuse me. So, one thing that they do is that once you defeat all the enemies, a big ass green arrow comes up to point you to the exit. It would be nice if you got it down to say, like, even if you had to get down to like 75% of the enemies gone, and then have an arrow pointing to where the others are. Because sometimes you have no idea that you can go another way because Thunder has such a ridiculous jump, which is beneficial, but it also means sometimes the area he can actually get to is out of the range of the screen's edge.
Yeah.
And you can't even see it. And then, like, you just jump randomly and you're like, fuck that. Where did that come from? It's a whole different place you could go. So, I would say of the weekly Rattalakas, Thunder probably isn't one of the strongest ones. It's fine for like a quick and easy, you know, play it, roll through it, kind of mindlessly.
It's a Rattalaka.
Yeah. I think when people shit on Rattalakas as being less than exemplary games, Thunderpaw is probably the kind of Rattalaka they're thinking of. That said,
it's $5. I
would still say, fuck it, why not? It's quick, it's easy, it's cheap. If you're into the gamer score, you're probably going to grab it.
Yeah.
And it's okay for that.
It's fun. It holds its own. It's good enough.
Yeah. I wouldn't, like, break my neck and be like, fuck, I have to have Thunderball.
Yeah.
But I'd be like, oh, it's on sale. I'll throw a couple dollars at it. I'm not mad.
And I think it is on sale for $3.99 for, like, the first week. So
you're definitely not mad, you know. Yeah. you're gonna get your money's worth. It's just that don't go into it expecting way better.
Yeah,
it's just gonna be fine.
All right, well, that wraps it up for this episode. That's everything.
We survived.
We did.
We did it. We'll do it again Tuesday. Fuck.
If we make it to Tuesday.
If Trump doesn't nuke us to get rid of the coronavirus.
Oh Lord.
Now, well, I put that out there. It's going to happen.
Probably. thanks to Chris for coming on, hanging out with us for 90 minutes, chatting about the PS5 and the Series X. It's going to be an exciting year if we make it through the year.
Yes.
Video game wise. It's going to be exciting. But hopefully we make it there, and hopefully what's going on in the world calms down and we can get back to some sense of normalcy fairly soon. I know it's very, very early in this pandemic, but hopefully we could get things under control. That's so weird to say.
Yeah.
This is so goddamn weird life is just weird right now. So hopefully we took your mind off of life for 2.5 hours, and, we're going to end things with some music, and, we'll be back next week with some more. And Cole, do you have any final words to end this?
Don't be dead next week.